Jump right in and start in a Genesis, talking about the foundation of the family. back in Genesis, we'll start Genesis chapter 1. If you can't find that, then, well, I'll pray for you. And then we're going to go over into Psalm right after that. Genesis 1. And I think I'm not going to finish this lesson today. And that's okay. We'll do it next week also. Genesis 1, verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea." See, fishing's biblical. And over the, I'm going to keep that commandment of God no matter what you say. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll start here. Lord, we are blessed to have the Word of God. Thank you for that we can be guided in something as important as a family, Father. I pray that you'd help us to see what your word says on this, and have the right attitude, Father. It's vital, Lord. It's not the attitude we're taught or will naturally gain through life, Lord, but it's something you say. And I pray we'd have that and love this truth and understand it and grasp it. Speak to our hearts. Help us to do better if we're not doing our best at this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first commandment in the Bible is actually be fruitful and multiply. And that is the first of the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, is be fruitful and multiply. Have children and fill up the earth. That's God's command. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us, and children are something that God gave us to have, and it's a blessing. And on the Family and the Firm Foundation, here we are, I don't know how many months in we are into this thing. We're just getting to children. Since we're talking about foundations, I want to understand the foundation of children and the right attitude towards children. And I think that's so important today, to have the right attitude towards children and to think of them properly. God obviously is for children. He gives us a commandment for them. The first thing I want to say is we must have the right attitude about children. Psalm 127, the right attitude. And I'll be reading a lot of verses. Both now and in the main service, I'm going to read so many verses out of so many passages, you might not want to try to turn to all of them, but at least you want to be in Psalms if you have your Bible. If not, I'll read everything to you. Psalm 127, the right attitude about children. This is vital. Verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late, and to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Notice it just says verse 5, happy is a man that had this quiver full of them. Happy. And that's the attitude. And having children. I'm having a lot of kids myself. Over the years, so often when I tell people how many kids I have, that we have 7 kids, so often I get a, "Whoa, man, how do you have time for anything? And man, you poor guy," or a thousand different things they'll say. People wonder all kinds of things about that. But is this because of some biblical conviction? Is it, you know, I have relatives that, you know where they come from, right? And all kinds of things I've been told over the years. But it's an attitude. I like kids. I think they're great. I think kids are awesome. I think they're a ball. And I want to have the right attitude towards kid. The attitude is happy about kids. People aren't happy about kids nowadays. It's a dangerous thing not to have the right attitude towards children. By the way, it's very easy to let it happen. It happens to people, and they don't get the right attitude. Just a few things why it says we should be happy about children. Number one, they are a heritage from God. Now, I know not everybody's going to have kids, and that's fine, and God has a different plan for everybody. The Apostle Paul didn't have kids. Jesus didn't have kids. We understand that. However, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. It's a heritage of the Lord. And you know, it's leaving something behind when you're gone. Can you imagine if every human who just came out of a plant or came out of a, from a stork, and all of a sudden, every single human was just an island. They would come, they would go, there would never be anything left of them afterward. No heritage, no nothing passed on, no name, no DNA, no anything. You were just come and you were just gone. It could be a sad world. And children are a heritage. And number two, they are a reward from God. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, I've got a lot of verses that we're not going to read, we're not going to go that direction. But there are people who are blessed with children because God is blessing them. I understand people who aren't blessed can have children. There is biology involved, but God says, I'm going to reward you with a child. And it's a reward from God. And that's the thing. Wow, I got a reward from God. I have a child. Number three, they are weapons against your enemies. Verse four, as arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You're Lauren Green, and you got Haas and Little Joe and whoever else to go talk to the guys out there coming to get you. Let's see. Some of you are too young, and you're looking at me blankly. How many Bonanza? Okay, good. But your children are there to fight your enemies. Your children are there. Somebody's coming to talk to you. Well, your children go out and meet him at the gate and said, what do you have with my dad? He wants to talk to us. And they're weapons. Now, who's our enemy? The devil. Your adversary, the devil. So children are our weapons against the devil. Children are your weapons against the devil. Just illustrate it. Let's take this weekend. We leave our house at 10 or so, and I have three kids with me, and two of my kids, my daughters Esther and Brooke, they go out and visit the bus route and talk to all the kids about coming, and then Timothy, he goes out witnessing, and with them, and so then they do that, and then we come back, and we've got to go to the church softball game and picnic, and my wife is not feeling good. She's in a lot of pain, and so the oldest daughter, Tiffany, is helping my wife out and helping her with the babies and take care of things at home. And then we get home, and we don't have enough time between breaks to get everything done. So on the way home, I said, okay, I need you to cut up the watermelon. I need you to cut up the sub sandwiches. I need you to put this in the freezer and do all this. And so guess what? They all worked. They all helped. And parents are so dumb when they don't have their kids work. There's a million good reasons to make your kids work. Everybody talks about how my kids work. I tell my kids that Byrams are workers. We're workers. And my kids are hard workers. Several reasons for that. Number one, they got energy. And they don't creak when they lean down and pick something up. They're great at working. They can do so much. Yesterday, I had one of my son, Timmy's out there pulling wood off the deck and putting new pieces on and doing those things. Why? They're a blessing. They're fighting Satan. They're doing work. Number two, why should you make kids work? Because they do not automatically learn at 18 how to work. Learn how to work at 4, 5, 6, 7. And most parents don't understand their kids aren't lazy. The kids want to work. People think, my kid's lazy. No, that's because you let him be lazy. If you notice, when she was three, she wanted to wash dishes with mommy. And when she was four, she wanted to run the vacuum like dad. And when he was five, when dad went out and started sawing on something, he wanted to go try help him. And you just taught them no when they were young. See, kids want to work. I don't know how many times I've had parents and they want me to help their kids, influence their kids, and I'll take their kids and I'll work them. I'll take that. I've always got something to do. I'll take them pull weeds to the church. I'll take it to my house and I'll have mow my lawn. And every boy wants to drive a drive lawnmower. And I'll have them go work and I'll have them go drill and saw and hammer and chase and catch a chicken that gets away or whatever I have to do. And the kids come home and they say, "What'd you do all day?" "Worked them." They worked? They're lazy. Well, no, one thing, I don't tell kids, "Oh man, work stinks. I hate going to work." I teach them work's good. I don't gripe about work all the time. I teach them work's a good thing. Now, to my wife, I go and gripe all the time about work, but not to, no. I understand not every job's good. I understand that. I understand sometimes you don't like your job. Don't tell your kids that, and find a better job that you like, but don't tell your kids that work's bad and train them and let them work. And then, listen, the kids, everybody would celebrate when they had a kid before because everybody had a farm. And kids would go and plant and dig and do everything else and everything else. It's interesting. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody from a different country. Iraqis? I think it was the Iraqis. And I was talking to them. And I know this is true of Filipinos. When the kids get old enough to work, it's time for them to take care of the parents. I'm moving there. But kids work. It's a good thing to make them work and let them work. And when they ask to work, let them work. Now, I don't let my kid run the skill saw when they're four, you know, and all that stuff. But they hold the wood while I cut it. I will say, okay, draw the pencil along that line and let them work and let them help and teach. They are helpers. They fight your enemy. They do the work of God if you train them right, and they're a blessing. And they do that. Next, they are spoken of as fruit. Verse 3, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, fruit of the womb is his reward." I almost said fruit of the loom. And fruit of the womb. And so go to Psalm, 128, this next chapter here. And verse 2, it says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. And thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, and children like olive plants around about thy table." So, we see there that children are spoken of as fruit. And you know what? Fruit is great. It grows, and it's productive, and it's delicious, and we like it. So fruit's a good thing. You want fruitful trees, and so it's a blessing. So children thought about as fruit that you bring forth, and that's a good thing. It's a blessing. And Psalm 128, your grandchildren are a blessing. Psalm 128, verse 6. "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." So we see that children are supposed to be thought of as a positive, as a blessing, as a happy thing. And we see that. And why is that? Well, the reason why it's so important is because how you feel about children is vital. How you feel about children is vital. They know how you feel about them. And they get their self-worth from their parents. The rest of their life, they'll be playing catch-up on self-worth if they do not have parents who show them they like them and want them. I want to say, you know why girls are impure and sexually immoral at 14, 15, 16, 17? Because they think they're going to get self-worth somewhere because their dad didn't give them self-worth. That's why they dress the way they do. They find someone acknowledges them and says they're valuable and says that there is something likable about them if they do that. Their self-worth, your kids need to feel like they're important and wanted. Don't ever tell your kids they're an accident, even if they were. And never act like you wish you didn't have them. Boy, the wounds that those wounds go into adulthood. When parents say that, because they know how you feel about them, and they know how they are, and they and number one, they know how you feel about them, and they get their self-worth from how their parents feel about them. Number two, we get their heart to influence them when we have the right attitude toward them. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. When you want and desire and like and are happy about your kids, they know it and they love you because you love them. Now, most any kid will love their parents, even bad parents. It's just true because it's kind of the way it is. But they will love but not like. And they will not let you influence them. And they won't want to be around you. And they won't want to be friends with you when they grow up. And they'll find friends when they're teenagers. Our desire has always been for our kids' best friends to be within our family. And then they could have other friends too, and they'd get good friends. But we wanted to be best friends with each other and with us. That's our desire. And they need that. You get the ability to influence them. You get their heart. My son, give me thine heart, Proverbs 4 says. And so we want to get their heart and have that. And it's very important. If you ever watch, and we have, I don't know how many kids we'll have back here. We'll have 50 kids or 40 kids or whatever we'll have back there. I don't know. It's different every week, and including the nursery and everything. But I want those kids at church. Now, I know all those kids don't know how to behave yet. They just don't. These kids come from rough neighborhoods. These kids come from rough homes, some of them, and they don't know how to act. And some of them got major family problems. And they come to church, and they're rough around the edges. Now, we don't bring rebellious kids. Rebellious kids cause a lot of problems. And if they find out they're rebellious, we'll give them a chance. And we'll say, all right, sorry, you don't get to come. It's a privilege. But kids who just need to be taught how to act, we love them. And we're always glad they're there. And I don't know how many. And just watch. See, when you love kids and you like them and you're happy about them, kids like you. Okay, and just watch the kids. I am so glad to have all those kids, and we run the buses and we run the vans to bring in the parents and the kids. But if it brings in all kids, it's fine with me. They're humans, and Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." And I know they run through church sometimes and stuff. But you ever watch those kids? Because I love all of them, and they might not be like this with their parents, but they watch them run up to me. Hey, Pastor, how are you? And a lot of them will lean against me. A lot of them will walk up, and I'll pat them on the head, or I'll ruffle their hair, or I'll, and I don't know how many kids came up to me. I watch just a bunch of little ragamuffins come up to me this morning and then just give their effect. Why? Because they know I like them and love them. Why? I want their heart. Because they're important. They're treasures. Every single one of them. One parent told me, they said, you know, every time you're going to come by, my kid almost wets his pants. He gets so excited because you're coming by. So, well, I don't know if that's good or bad. And I'm not sure. And why? And I have a nickname for most every kid. I just have a nickname. I just find a kid and I give them some goofy nickname just so they know that I know them and they're special to me. And I just make some goofy. Why? Because I want them to know I'm happy they're here, that I'm happy. Why? Because they're getting self-worth right now. And then, you know, God loves them and cares about them. And some of them, I represent, I'm an ambassador. I stand for God. And so I want to have that. And so they like me. You won't find very many kids who don't like me. And I'm not a charismatic person. You know why most kids like me? Because I like them. That's why. If you don't like kids, kids will not like you. If you're not happy about your children, your children will cannot get away from you fast enough and cannot be gone long enough in a day, and you lose your influence. Because you got to be happy about them. And you got to love them. You got to feel like they're a treasure to you and make them feel like that. How often people worry, it's so strange. I sometimes go to so many houses and I do visiting. I'm in people's houses all the time and stuff. And their kid starts climbing and playing and they're always, oh, stop that, stop. I'm sorry about him. I said, don't worry about it. It doesn't bother me. Kids being kids doesn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, the truth is I have 7 of them. My kids are all very healthy, vibrant kids who are very active. And I half the time have a kid climbing on me. If your kid climbs on me when I'm at your house, I don't care. Let him sit on my head and climb my shoulders. And, you know, as long as I'm not stabbing their fingers in my eye, I'm okay. And but why? Because they're kids. They're a blessing. That's okay. If they're unruly and bad and throwing things at, you know, you and me and you know, whatever. I understand that they're just destructive and nasty kids. But if kids are just kids, they're a blessing. It's fun to watch them with their energy. It's fun to watch them. And it's great. Kids are a blessing, and they're fun, and you got to keep a little kid in you where you know how to have fun still, where you know how to laugh and play and do things. My daughter was walking to me this morning. I was sitting in the chair there, getting ready to study for my Sunday school lesson, and my two youngest, Brooke and Becca and Rana, they're all the same, just names. So number 6 and 7. But they come and running up to me, and I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready for this lesson here. And they come up and want my attention. And Becca gets between my knees, and she starts pulling my legs into her stomach, clunk, clunk. So I start doing thunk, and she goes, and so Ronan says, I want to do that. And so I do that to her, and there went the sermon study, as you can tell. And so there I go, and so then both of them want to try it. Thump, 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 and I'm sitting 10 minutes, and then I start getting tired. And so, all right, kids, time to do something else. But they just sit there and lean against me. Why? Because I like them. You know what parents do in that situation? I'm busy. Get away from me. You don't need me to study. I can just say whatever. You won't know. But I'm kidding. You know what? The kids feeling wanted. Many parents, here's what they do. What? Yeah. Okay. What? There's only 3 minutes left in the game. I'll talk to you then. 3 minutes, you know, at the end of the game. 20 minutes later. And then the kid, I'm busy. Nope. You don't have time for the kid. Why? Because you really don't like him very much. They're an inconvenience to you. And that's a bad thing that kids will know. Kids are a blessing. And you say, well, wait a minute. They're so much work and so much trouble and so much money. I could offer those studies. They've studied multiple times in the last about 6 years how much it costs to raise a kid. And they say the average child costs $450,000 to raise. They raise those kids different than me. $450,000 per child? I'll not make that much in my lifetime. But my kids don't have a big screen in the room either. And they don't have all the toys and gadgets that they think they have to have. And my kids, they don't get iPads and Game Boys and everything else. They get a yard. And a yard is cheaper than all those things combined eventually. And they get sticks. And let's see, there was a rat in a yard last night, got caught by the cat. And that was entertainment for a half hour to watch. And the Wongs were here, and they thought it was entertaining, too. And morbid children. But, you know, it doesn't cost that much when you play games, you have fun, you spend time, you talk, you play, chase around the yard, play hide-and-go-seek. There's all kinds of fun things you don't cost anything. I know they're expensive. They are expensive. I understand that as well as anybody. But, you know, it's not that expensive for what their value is. And so you say they're a problem, they're expensive and all those things. And I tell you, good things in life come with problems and expenses. Let's take a car. I love having a car. I went 3 months out of the car. What a miserable life. It is terrible not having a car. How many people in their adulthood didn't have a car for a while? Raise your hand. Some of you. It's terrible. And it is so inconvenient. But you know what? Having a car comes with expenses. There's just stuff called insurance. There's just stuff called oil. There's just stuff called gas. There's just stuff called traffic. There's all kinds of problems with having a car. But it's worth it, isn't it? I would rather have a car and all those expenses of all the things that it costs. Why? Because though having a car costs, the value of it is 100 times better. That's the way children are. Same with owning land. You own land, you know that everything grows that you don't want to grow, and everything you want to grow doesn't grow. And it takes work. And things get overgrown, and things break. And you know what? It's work to have land. If you just sit in an apartment, you won't have any land problems. But I'd rather have land. So I say, okay, I'll take those problems, and I'll have kids and let them do everything with land. And you realize things are work, but they're worth it, and children are worth that thing. They are crowns and treasures. Let's look at Psalm 144. I want to get our attitude right about children. I don't want our children to feel like we're always inconveniencing them. They're always a pain and you're tired of them and shut up. And I don't want to hear about it. And you know, they're not logical when they explain things to you. And that's not right. And just let them be kids. And Psalm 144. And like them the way they are. Psalm 144, verse 11 and 12. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. We'll get to that in a minute, how there's good and bad children. And that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Their treasures and crowns. Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So they're beautiful things, and they're treasures, and they're crowns, and they're cornerstones. They're all kinds of wonderful, beautiful things. Now, let me say this. They must be carefully raised to be the great blessing. Let me take you to Proverbs. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 10. We just read those verses in Psalms. So Proverbs chapter 10. I'm not going to get into everything about child rearing and things, but they must be carefully raised in order to be a blessing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. There's a lot of verses on this in Proverbs about the blessings. But verse 20. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And so you get the idea from these verses that children can be a blessing or a curse. You do not raise them right, they will drive you crazy. People used to say the guy who invented the no spanking thing, he was half crazy when he wrote his book, and his kids drove him the other half. And kids are like that. Now, you cannot raise free will out of children. There's no way to do that. Anybody can do wrong. But you will find if you will raise your kids right, for the overwhelming majority, your kids are going to be a great blessing to you. And if you let your kids go, there's some kids who will be good even if you let them go. There's just certain kids that are just good-natured and sweet-spirited from birth. And there's exceptions. But if you let your kids go, a child left himself comes to destruction, and you will find that those kids will be a burden for you, not just until they turn 18. If you think that if you're a foolish parent and at 18 your problems are over when you can kick them out of the house, you don't know much about life and you haven't watched very closely what happens to society. They will come back and rob your house when you're not at home. They will borrow your things and ruin them. They will get you in more trouble. They'll move back in when they shouldn't move back in. And when they move back in, they will get you in more trouble. There is so many troubles when you have the wrong kind of child. You've got to raise them right in order for them to be a blessing. If your kid is unruly and out of control, you will not like children very much. If your kids, you let them run the roost, your kids are going to be a pain. And they will not shut up when you ask them to shut up, and you shouldn't ask them to shut up. You should be able to just say the words, be quiet, and they do it. You have to raise your voice and yell, and you have to threaten and be angry and mad and everything else. It's a mess. See, when you said how we feel about them is vital, the first reason is because they know I don't get their self-worth from us. We get their heart and influence them. And the third reason is important is because it keeps them from abuse. It keeps them from abuse when you feel right about them. The abuse comes from us. See, when you don't like your kids and want your kids and feel they're of value, you get mean. And I'll be honest, when I get around nasty, vicious, terrible, and I try not to do it very often, just rebellious, mean, vicious kids, I don't want to be nice to them. Let's put it that way. And you ever want to smack somebody's kid? How many of you want to smack somebody's kid sometime? Yeah, I don't do this to me. I know what you're doing. And I know you do. And sometimes you say, can I, the kid, in the, it's a grocery store, kids. I want that. Give me that. Give me that. Rah, rah, rah. I was laughing. My wife was in the grocery store, and this kid was playing with a what's the white Apple phone? iPhone. And this kid was playing with this nice iPhone. Two-year-old. And my wife sees it, and the lady's in line behind her says, she's got your iPhone. And the lady says, it's not mine, it's his. And she says, I know, I'm grandma. Mom says he saw hers and had to have it, and so he has his own iPhone. And yeah, we all know what's going to happen to it, because he screams and yells until you give him his iPhone and then everything else. I don't think those things cost like my phone costs. Like, they're like $40, are they? And a two-year-old has to have an iPhone and gets his way. They'll make popsicles where the devil lives before my two-year-old gets an iPhone. I don't get an iPhone. And I wouldn't know how to use it anyway. And I can't hammer nails in it with stuff. Listen. These kids, when you don't like them, you get verbally abusive. You're so stupid. You should never say that to a kid. You grab and shake them. And I believe in spanking, but I don't believe in abusing. You don't spank. You don't discipline when you're angry. It's a controlled, systematic thing where they choose to get spanked, and you do it because they chose to. And you do it. And you find they're a big blessing. Last night, one of my baby Becca, and my kids are all very strong-willed, and not all of them. Some are average. Some are very strong-willed, and most of them are pretty strong-willed. And Becca she was, I could tell she was about to throw a fit, so I called her to me. And she was getting tired and stuff, but she wasn't that tired yet. And I called her to me, and she did what the Isaiah says. They get the, I forget the phrase, but they pulled her shoulder away. It's a phrase it uses. And she just turned her shoulder from me when I called her. And Mom was standing by her and would have none of it. And Mom gave her a swat and says, go to Daddy. And she didn't do it. And so Mom got out the tool of choice and went over and whacked her a couple good ones. And then she came to Daddy. Now, I to this day do not understand. I understand it because God did it to me. I do not understand the breaking of the will. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it works. It works wonderfully. When you get your will broken by someone who loves you, you love that person more. Okay? And I went and God broke my will when I was a teenager, and I submitted him and love him a lot more since, when because he knows what's best for me. And she came and ran to me crying and jumped into my arms, and then she stayed there and snuggled for a very long time. And then she got down and crawled under my feet and lifted my feet and put them on her stomach. And then I started stomping my feet like this real fast. And she started laughing and giggling. And then she ran and she grabbed an I Spy book and plopped in my lap and said, my stomach, my lap, and said, read to me. And I had her find things in the I Spy book. And then we played the bowl. We came out of the barn and got it right. And we had this wonderful, happy time. But if we would have let her be rebellious before that, we wouldn't have had this happy time. And today I'd be dealing with it. Because she'd be nasty today, and she would have been snuggling up to me there. Because we took time in love to discipline her. And because why? Because I want to like my children. And I'm going to love them either way, but I want to like them too. But I love everybody, but I don't like bratty kids. They're bratty. I watch kids throw things at their parents. The things hit their parents. You see that. You see kids hitting their parents? And because these kids are so out of line. So you have to raise them right in order for them to be a blessing. And if they're then they're a big blessing when you have them, when you've raised them right. I must be carefully raised. And first of all, they must be trained. Proverbs 22. You got to train them. Proverbs 22. And this takes time. But when you realize your kids are more important than football, then you take the time. When your kids are more important than riding quads, or kids are more important than sleeping another 3 hours, or more important than video games, and you take the time to train them in life. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, it's been an amazing thing to me, and I shouldn't say this because I have kids in here, we have trained our kids to earn things and then buy things and stuff like that. And my kids will want something, and they're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and they'll want something, and they will automatically say, how much money I have in the bank? And when they say, I would like one of these, I'm thinking, how much money do they have in the bank to buy them that? But you know my kids buy most of the things they want because you train them to do that. Now, I would, fictionally, I would buy them those things. Close your ears, kids. But since they want to go, they've learned that that's part of life. They've been trained that if you want something, you earn it. Then you buy it instead of you begging for it. Right? When you're adults, you don't let other people take care of you. You take care of yourself, right? Is that true? I think that's true. At least it was true 50 years ago. Not always true nowadays. So what happens, that magical thing, they're born on September 30th, and so on September 29th, on their 17th birthday, they don't have to buy anything, and they don't have to be responsible. They don't know how to work, and they don't know anything. But on that, as soon as midnight clicks over, now they're 18, now they know how to go, and now they know how to work hard, and now they know they need to buy things themselves, and now they know everything. Because that, as soon as it turned midnight, the whole person is transformed. Because they're 18 now, and they're an adult, and now they know how to handle money, because the 18th birthday ticked over. And now they know how to work and have relationships. Isn't that stupid? Boy, the day before, they'd have been in a mess, but luckily they're 18 today, so now they can handle their money. Whew. No, you train them. You train them up, and you teach them. Doesn't say they'll never depart from it when they're old. And so there's a lot in the verse. We don't have time to get into all of it, but you train them. And you train them for life and prepare them. It takes time. They must be trained, number one. Number two, they need a spiritual foundation from a young age. Let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians. I'll read out of there. I thought about telling fun kids stories and what a blessing my kids are, but that's like a grandparent who says my kids are cuter than yours. And I just want to say I love having kids. And it's great. It's a blessing. And I hope you will have that attitude. Ephesians 6:4. From a young age, you learn to train them up. And it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You start young. We won't turn there, but 2 Timothy 3:15, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation. From a child. Teach them to be spiritual as children. Let me take it a good passage that shows you how Jesus did this. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. You know what? Somehow I got the wrong verse written down. Let me find it in my notes here. It isn't Matthew 10. Nope. Let me find this verse. Give me 10 seconds here. My kids interrupted me this morning when I was studying. But let me find this here. I have so many verses here. It's going to take me a second. Wrong notes. You're all looking for it too. Let's see. Nope, I can't find it. It's where Jesus. Nope, I don't know where it went. And it's about Jesus taking the children unto him. And he said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so I thought it was, I have it written down as Matthew 10, but it's not. And it's on the bottom right hand page, the page on the right hand column. It's right down there, and it's somewhere in here, and I don't see where I have it, though, but It's somewhere in here. Nobody's bailing me out, so I guess I'm stuck. And, yep, it's not in here. It's in there somewhere. There we go. Let's try Luke 9. And let's go there. Luke 9, and we'll start at verse 47. Jesus, perceiving their thoughts in their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said, Whosoever receiveth this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth them that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. And you know, that's not the exact verse I'm looking for there, but you know the verse I'm talking about, where he's talking about children. He sets them on his lap, and he says that. And so Jesus talks about that. Jesus loved the little children and had that heart for them and said that we need them. We need to be like them. Let me take it to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. We'll finish up there. First John chapter 2, verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I've written to you, children, because ye have known the Father. I want to say there's different stages of life that have different spiritual levels. Your children can teach you a lot of things. And it says the children, whether spiritual or physical, they know the Father. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, be like, come like a child. And one of the things about children is they will teach you a lot if you watch them. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Will any of you, being a father, give your child, if he asks for a bread, will you give him a stone? So there's so many spiritual truths in parenting and seeing children. They can teach you so many things. I want to say this, if you have the right attitude that children are a blessing, you realize they can do a million things for you. Do you know your children sometimes, without knowing it, rebuke you? You're watching something maybe you shouldn't watch on television. Your kid says, Daddy, that's bad. Your children sometimes will have great faith in prayer when you don't. Your children can be a blessing to you and help you. Your children can be there for you. And hopefully, if you raise them up right, when you get older, they're a blessing. They're there for you when you need them. And children are a blessing. I want to say the right attitude. The foundation of children is to love them, be excited about them, and feel like they're a blessing. Not, oh, kids. No. You got the wrong attitude, and your kids are going to know it, and they're not going to like it. Nor are they going to like you. So we got to love them and be excited about them and realize they're a blessing. All right, we're going to bow for prayer. And nobody found that verse, did they? You found it? Which verse is it? Matthew 18, let's look and see. Could be. That's part of it. It said to be converted and become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's very good. And, you know, the verses, they're in there. And that's another one of those. So, good. All right, we're going to go ahead and pray. We'll be dismissed for the main service in about 11 minutes. We go to the main church service. Let's pray. Lord, help us to love kids. Lord, there's something wrong with somebody who despises kids. There's something wrong in them, Father. We thank you that Jesus so many times took children and used them as an example. And there's childlike things that we need to have, Father, that are very godly and mature. And I pray we'd have the right attitude towards kids and love them. And I pray we'd be excited about them. And I pray we'd raise them right so they'd be a blessing. I pray you'd help us to have the foundation of the right attitude towards children. We ask you to help us to do this and not learn the world the way that kids are a burden, but a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're